David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, God. The people have said that they were happy to come into the house of the Lord. So, God, we are believing that they will not leave the same way that they came, that they would get something, that they would have something, something that they can take with them that would solidify their relationship with you. And if they don't have a relationship with you, that they would get a relationship with you. God, bless every aspect of the rest of the service, including the baby dedication. God, move up and down every aisle, in and out every row. Let no one's coming be in vain. And we thank you. Revelation knowledge will flow freely, unhindered, uninterrupted, unchecked by any satanic or demonic forces. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. With your Bibles in your hands, your phones, your iPads, however you're going to connect with the Word of God, or if you're just going to look on the screen, you can point in that direction. But repeat after me, this is my Bible. Come on, let's do it a little bit better than that. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise. Glory to God. It's eating time. We're going to start off with the title right away. And the title is a simple three-word title. And it's this, make him known. Make him known. And so last week we covered Pentecost and the Pentecost and apostolic power that fell at Pentecost. And one of the things that they were told that they were supposed to go out and they were supposed to tell what we call the gospel, which is the good news. In other words, make it known. Another way I can say it, a little more ghetto, run, tell that. Go out there and tell. Now, marketing experts say the greatest marketing and advertising is not commercials and radio. It still is word of mouth. When people begin to talk, they will fill up a restaurant. They'll fill up a movie. They'll buy shoes, because when you make something known, it publicizes it. It publishes it. It advertises. And the one problem that we have is we have the best thing, but we forget to make it known. We forget to talk about it. If somebody bakes some good chicken, you'll talk about it. If there's a sale at Fresh Time, you'll talk about it. If somebody's graduating, you'll talk about it. If somebody lost weight, you'll talk about it. But when God is doing good things, sometimes we're too quiet. We got to get to the mindset. We got to make him known. And so what we're going to do, and we're going to put it up, and this is how we're going to walk through the sermon, four ways to make him known. Now, whenever I do this, I only do it for time, so there are several other ways. Maybe as you're taking notes or as you're taking mental notes, you will think of other ways to make him known and jot it down. I'm only going to give you four because I can't keep you here all day. Sometimes I feel like preaching all day, but I want y'all to come back, so I'm not going to preach all day. But four ways to make him known. Let's start a little bit piggybacking off of last week, and let's go point A. This is the first one. It is through our witness. One of the reasons it's hard to make him known is because people see your life. And so if I'm telling you about a drug that will make you taller, you're not going to believe me because I'm still the same size. If I came in here 6'6", you would believe me, but I'm still 5'7", 5'8" at the most. And so you're not going to believe me if my life doesn't line up to what I'm talking about. I got a good job. Why are you always borrowing money from me? Your life ain't lining up to what you're talking about. So the problem is some people are trying to make him known, but their witness doesn't jive up with what they're talking about. Let's give us some words, definitions of witness. Let's give us two. Number one, have knowledge of an event or change from personal observation or experience. And so there has to be some personal observation. That's why we say we connect with our Creator continually. In other words, not just in the four walls of the building, but we have some personal connection. So if I try to make him known, I'm making him known not off of grandma's experience, not off of granddaddy's experience, but I got experience of my own. All right, let's go to number two, definition number two. Open profession of one's religious faith through words or actions. Now, the actions should line up with the words. And so, an open profession. I'm saved, but don't nobody know it. I'm saved, but I never talk about it. I'm saved, but I don't ever come to church. I'm saved, but I don't ever log in. I don't ever tune in. I'm saved, but I don't read the word. I'm saved, but I don't pray. So if you have an open profession, what your profession ought to line up with words and corresponding actions. All right. So let's go a verse we used last week. Let's bring up Acts 1 and 8. And my mother, she just got back from Los Angeles last night, so she's not here, and so that's why she's not here. But Acts 1 and 8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We talked about it last week. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In other words, so the power that comes on you enables you to be my witnesses. And so I want to break it down into three different things in this point number A, because it lays it out with three. It says Jerusalem. And so go ahead and put that up. Jerusalem equals your close circle. And I'll explain them later after I go through all of them. Number two, Judea and Samaria equals your extended circle. And then three, end of the earth equals far reaching. And so you have your close circle, your extended circle, and then far reaching. But many churches, including ours, they have a globe somewhere in the logo saying that we are trying to reach the world. But you don't start to the far reaching until you first start right at home. And so you start in your close circle. So even though our logo has a globe, if we're not affecting Muncie, we're wasting our time. Don't tell me, Deliverance Temple, that you're affecting the globe and you can't do anything for the people right in Muncie. Let me bring it to a more personal understanding. Don't tell me you're going to save the world and you're mean and nasty to your family. You have to know how to deal with your close circle first, the people that are around you. See, the people who spend the most time with you, they ought to know first that you're saved. Not by what you say, but by how you live. Andre is something different about him. He's got something he didn't have because he's dealing with Jerusalem first. He is close circle. And then your extended circle, whether it's your job, whether it's your extended family. Yeah, maybe your spouse know you're saved, but cousin them don't know you're saved. And so when you get to the family reunion, cousin them expecting you to act like you always act. And then because you are afraid and ashamed of your salvation, when you get around certain people, you have certain faces. But you got to be saved all the time. I'm not saying that you will not have low moments and that you're going to be perfect. But people ought to know that you're trying. They ought to know you are trying what you're professing. Why come to church every Sunday and never have any change or adjustment? And then there is far reaching where we reach the earth. Well, because we are in the earth, the entire earth is affected because you are there. I learned this in my own life when I traveled to Haiti and I traveled for a missions trip. And I realized love transcends any language. Didn't understand the language. They spoke Creole, which is a mix of French, and it is a broken French, but basically it wasn't English. It wasn't what I spoke. But I realized love transcended. I was able to reach people with love. And then there were people who told me, be worried about Haiti because there's a lot of voodoo over there. And when they find out that you're a preacher or a pastor, they may try to put a hex on you and a spell on you. I didn't know what I was going to run into, but I ran into what I found out was the power of God. Not only is the love of God transferable, but the power of God is transferable. And so I ran into some voodoo people, and what it didn't shock me, but it kind of got my attention. They bowed to me before I ever noticed them. I'm like, who are some people bound to me? Oh, that's a voodoo priestess. Oh, so he recognized the power of God on my life. Even though I left Muncie and landed in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, the power of God is transferable. It's global. But here's the thing. It doesn't make a difference if it's global if the own folk in my house can't see the power sometimes. All right, let me move on from that because I could get too deep in that. But you cuss out your family and then you want to preach on Sunday morning. That power don't work. You got to be a person where people know. I'm not saying you won't never cuss, but I'm saying that people know that you have a heart. That in other words, what you talk about, you live. Some people say, hear what I preach, but don't watch what I do. No, I want what I'm doing to line up to what I'm saying. All right, let's move on. Let's look at Acts 22:13 and 14. Says, this came to me, and this is Paul talking, and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour, I received my sight and saw him. So when Paul got converted and he was knocked off of his horse, he was literally knocked off of his high horse, and he saw a light and a voice. It blinded him, but God sent someone to him for him to recover his sight. And then look at what the next verse says. And he said, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, number one, to see the righteous one, number two, and to hear a voice from his mouth, number three. And so I want to go ahead and lay these out as points. So put point number one up, know his will. Once you are trying to become a witness for the Lord, one of the things you need to know is his will, and his will specifically for you. Don't try to get his will for Trish and worry about what Trish is doing. Know his will for you. All right. Number two, you need to see the righteous one. Number three, you need to hear from his mouth. I love Sunday morning. I enjoy getting dressed and coming to see the saints on Sunday morning, but I can't wait till Sunday morning to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear from his mouth. Because if I only ate on Sunday morning, I would look like I was starving. I have to take this home with me. If I'm going to be a witness for the Lord, I got to know his will outside of the church, outside of Sunday. That means I have to seek his will. I have to see the righteous one. That means I'm going to have to spend time to see the righteous one. And I have to hear from his mouth. In other words, Sunday morning sermon may not be enough. I may need to go and dig deeper to hear what God is saying. I may need to hear the sermon again. I may need to rewatch it. I may need to watch another sermon, because if I'm going to be a witness for God, I got to know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all on your job, have you ever been in maybe a new job or a new department on your job, a new position on your job, and someone is supposed to train you, and you find out the person training you don't know what they're doing? How you gonna tell me how to be good at this job and you don't know where it is? You don't know what's going on. Oh, we got to use this certain kind of tool. Well, what's the name of the tool? I don't remember. Well, where the tool is, I don't know. How are you training me? Well, how are we witnesses for God and we don't know nothing? Don't know no scriptures. We can't pray. Well, Pastor, don't ask me to pray because I get nervous. You've been saved 25 years and you still get nervous praying? Well, I'm not a public prayer. I understand that. But some things, if you do it in private, it ought to show up in public. All right, let's move right along. Acts 22:15 says this: for you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. So if you are seeing him and hearing from him, it won't be hard to be a witness. So let's go for takeaway A. So each one of these points will have a takeaway. Here's the takeaway for A. We make him known through power, which we've seen in Acts 1:8, but also through personal relationship. When you draw into him and you have a personal relationship, then you are able to be a witness for him. All right, let's go on to point number B, or point letter B. It is this: through his actions. This is quite interesting because oftentimes, and I just shared with you that we need to focus on our actions, which are, it's important. But our actions are not as important as his actions. And so if you're really going to be a good witness, you need to have a focus on his actions and not just your actions. The problem with our actions is we get out of balance with our actions in two ways. Either we give ourselves too much credit or we don't give ourselves enough credit. In other words, we are either big-headed about ourselves or we're so down on ourselves, it doesn't do any good. In other words, going back to the example of the prayer, I can't pray because I mess up too much. Well, it's really not about you. You're witnessing for him. Or I'm the best prayer this side of heaven. Well, you're wrong too. So how we fix that, instead of focusing on our actions, we ought to focus on his actions. All right. Psalms 105:1-2. This will put it really plain for us. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Not only do I like Sunday morning and enjoy Sunday morning, I actually enjoy social media. I have fun with social media, but it's a tool. It's a tool. If you know how to use it as a tool, when God does something good for you, why don't you tell his deeds among the people? I don't mind you moving in silence. There's nothing wrong with moving in silence. Sometimes it's wise to move in silence, but sometimes you got to let people know what the Lord has done. You'll tell folk what you ate for breakfast. You'll tell folk how many miles you rode on the treadmill. But when God does something big and grand, you don't have nothing to say. However, when the devil is busy, you'll talk about it. When the marriage is messed up, you talk about it. When the wife is cheating, you talk about it. When Trump is acting up, you talk about it. But is anybody going to talk about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Now, yes, we are human, and God doesn't seem like he's always doing things that we want him to do all the time. But when he does do it, you ought to say something. When you get a parking spot that you didn't think you was going to get, you ought to say something. When you go to the doctor and what they diagnose you with is no longer in the diagnosis, you ought to tell somebody something. Get on the phone, run, tell that. Make known his deeds among the people. All right, read the next verse. Well, I'll read the next verse. My mother's not here. So sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Here's something I learned. It's sometimes God doesn't seem like he's doing something in the present. And it can be frustrating, but I realize you can always go back in the past and find something that he's already done. See, when I look back over my life, like the songwriter said, I find out I have a testimony. And so sometimes you forget what he's already done. And if you can't find him in the new season, you got to praise him for the old season. Because the only reason why I made it to the new season is he brought me out of the old season. So I can praise him on what he already done. I can praise him on the fact what he already did. And what you may say is, well, you don't know my family, Pastor Andre. Ain't nothing ever been good happening in my family. We can't even win the McDonald's Monopoly. We don't get nothing. Don't nothing ever good happen to us. Well, I'm sorry for your family, but all you got to do is open your Bible and look at Abraham and thank him for Abraham. Look at Jacob and thank him for Jacob. Look at David and thank him for David. Look at Peter and thank him for Peter. Look at Paul and thank him for Paul. You don't have an excuse not to praise the Lord. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. If you're breathing, you have a responsibility to be praising. All right, let's go on to Psalms 145, 12, and 13. It says this, informing all people of your mighty acts and of the glorious splendor of your kingdom. The next verse says this, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your rule is for all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his actions. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and go with you and say God ain't never done nothing good for you. And maybe you don't feel like going into the Bible and picking up everything in the Bible to praise God for. But it says his gracious actions. See, there's some stuff that you did that you should have been busted for. But you still here, and you better praise God for that. See, some difference between some of y'all and the people in jail is the people in jail got caught, and you didn't get caught. God done wiped some stuff clean. God done some stuff. God done covered some stuff. If you can't thank him for what he's doing now, thank him for what he got you out of. Thank him for the mercy of God on your life. Now, I'm not talking to y'all because y'all saved, sanctified, and filled with the mighty Holy Ghost and burning fire. And so I'm not even going to talk to the people tuning in online. I'm just throwing this out in the atmosphere. But somebody somewhere been with somebody's man and somebody's woman that they shouldn't have been with and got out in the nick of time. And then you got the nerve to say, God ain't never done nothing for you. You better thank God you didn't get found. Thank God you didn't get caught. Thank God an STD ain't running in your veins and in your blood. There's a lot of stuff to thank God for. Well, Pastor, I ain't never acted like that. Well, let me talk to you. Yes, you done some stuff that God done still got you out of. Because you set the steak back four times. And the cook got mad and spit in your steak. But before it came to your plate, God moved out all the infirmity, all the mess, and all the poison. Yes, God has been good to you, whether you know it or not. The Bible said danger. I mean, not the Bible, but a songwriter said danger seen or unseen. So talk about his acts. All right, here's takeaway B. We make him known when his actions are the focus. When we focus on his actions, all right, let's go to point number three, which is the letter C, is this, through our yes. If I was in the old church, I would say, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I'll trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. In other words, we make him known when we line up with a yes. See, I wouldn't be what I am if I didn't say yes to God, because being a preacher was the last thing on my radar, and being a pastor was the last thing I wanted to do. I didn't want nothing to do with none of that. I didn't mind being saved, but don't make me get up and be in front of no people. I don't want to be bothered with folk. I done grew up in a ministry family, and the phone used to ring off the hook. I love folk, but I don't want to be bothered with folk, so I don't want to be no preacher, no pastor, none of that stuff. And guess what God called me to do? And what has happened in my life is I stepped into something that I didn't know I was going to step into because I said yes to him. I carry an anointing. I also carry a swag about myself that I wouldn't have if I didn't say yes to him. And some people will say, yeah, you're all put together, Pastor. You drive nice. You look nice. But you don't remember who I was growing up. I was nerdy. I was clumsy. There was a lot of stuff wrong with me. But once I said yes to God, it's like Clark Kent. I stepped in the phone booth. I took off the old man, put on the new man. And the same with you. Once you say yes to God, stuff that never worked before will start working in your life. People that never noticed you will start noticing you because you have lined up with the will of God for your life. And on the flip side, there's nothing worse than seeing someone who keeps running from their purpose. I know church folk in the streets. What do you mean by that, Pastor Andre? I'm talking about people who know they need to be in church. And they keep trying to run to the streets and the street beat them up. Now, let me throw this out there. Some people say black don't crack. Well, if you in sin, black can crack too. I done seen some folk younger than me look worse than me, because they keep running away from the will of God. And when you're running from your purpose, it shows on your face, it shows on your body, it shows in your money, it shows everywhere. Some of y'all need to just say yes to God, stop running, stop trying to get out of it, and just say yes to his will. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Some stuff ain't going to work. Some marriages ain't going to work. Well, I just want a rough neck. Well, you ain't built for no rough neck. And that's why your life is so rough, because you keep trying to grab what God doesn't have for you. God got something for you, and as long as you keep running around it, it's not going to work. Let me talk to our young folk for a second. I know y'all been in church and you're tired of church and you can't wait to get on your own. But let me tell you from my own experience, when you get on your own, God will find you there. When you try to do it your way, God will find you there. And there comes a day, there's a reckoning day for all of us when God says, what I planned you to be and planned you to do, you're going to have to say yes or suffer the consequence. All right, let's move on. I don't want to get too deep, because some people is suffering the consequences right as I speak. I ain't talking about nobody here. We talking about folk out there. Luke 1, 34 and 35. Look at this. It says, Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. This is when the angel came to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and told her that she would be with child. And she's like, how can this be? I've not done what it takes to produce a child on the inside. And so the next verse says this, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Now, many of us know the story. She was engaged to Joseph. And so her word should have been, God, what you going to tell Joseph? Her word should have been saying, what the people, what are they going to say if I get pregnant? She could have said, God, you play too much. You're crazy. You mean I'm going to walk around and be pregnant and I ain't even done nothing? At least let me enjoy the sexual activity. You mean I got to go through the pain without the pleasure? There's a whole lot of stuff she could have said and would have been well within her reason to say, but look what the scripture says she said. She makes this statement here as they bring it up. See, I am the Lord's servant. That's the key right there. I don't control myself. I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it happen to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. The King James says, be it unto me according to your word. In other words, she said, I'm your servant, God. And so whatever you want to do, I say yes to. It may sound strange to me, but I say yes. It may be confusing to me, but I say yes. I say yes to you. And all the things that she could have said, she just said yes. Sometimes all your extra words are worthless. All you need is to say yes, Lord. There was a song that we used to sing in the old Kojic church, and it only had one word, and it was the word yes. We were singing, and the power of God would fall, and all we were just doing is saying yes. And sometimes somebody would add another word, yes, Lord. And here's the thing I need you to understand. In this 2024 age, things are not going to get better, so you might as well say yes to the Lord. God, if you want it, you can have it. God, if you need it, I'll say yes. And here's another thing you can say. God, I may not be ready to let it go, but if you help me, I can do it. I had a dream last night. It was a crazy dream, but there were some things that I remember in the dream. And one thing in the dream, I remember someone was looking at me, and they told me, he said, it's time to let it go. Time to let it go. And so I woke up, I'm not quite sure what it was actually referencing, but I prayed and told the Lord, whatever it is I need to let go, help me let it go. Because it may be a situation where I don't know how to let it go. In other words, what I'm saying, it may be God is asking for a yes from you, but you don't even know how to say yes. So tell God, help me say yes. See, when we were used to get saved every year, we got saved every summer. But when we used to get saved, in between, they would say, are you saved? We would say, no, I'm not saved. And then they would say this, ask the Lord for a mind to be saved. In other words, if you're not ready to be saved, yes, ask him to help you get to that place. And so, yes, you need to say yes, but some of y'all need God's help to say yes. So God, help me say yes. Help me say yes, because I will make him known when I line up to your will. But I can't line up to your will until I get in your will. But I can't even get in your will without your help. All right, moving right along. Takeaway C is this. Jesus was literally made known through a simple yes from Mary to God's word. Now, she didn't ask for seven prophets to confirm it. She didn't do like Gideon and put out a fleece. She just said yes to his word. There's some things that you get just by coming and listening to the word, and all you got to do is say yes to the word. All right? Here is the fourth one, which is letter D. It's through our seeking. And so let me go ahead and cover them really quick for us. So A was we make him known through our witness. B was we make him known through his actions. C is we make him known through our yes. And now D, we make him known through our seeking. Let me say it again. That's why we connect with our creator every now and then. All right. I'm hoping somebody is catching it. We connect with our creator continually, because speaking of Mary, when she had the baby, there were wise men that sought him. And somebody said, wise men still seek him. And so if you want to be wise, you will continue to seek him. So look at Isaiah 65, 1 and 2, says this. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am to a nation that was not called by my name. Let me go ahead and make it real plain so you can understand it. He got stood up at the date. I showed up where I was supposed to show up. I was ready to be called on. I was there. I did my part, but didn't nobody show up to receive my love? Here's the thing. If you were showing up to get judgment, it'd be one thing, but you were showing up to receive his love, to receive his mercy, and receive his grace, and didn't even show up. Before he goes to the cross, Jesus makes a statement. He said, "Oh, Israel, how I wanted to gather you like a mother hen gathers its chicks, but you would not. You wouldn't even let me be me the way I want to be me in your life." And sometimes it's because of preaching, because we think whenever God show up, he always showing up with a lightning bolt. But sometimes he's just showing up with his love. Showing up with his kindness. I'll take a little bit of time and tell my testimony, just a brief portion of it, how when I was in college and I finally decided I was going to walk away from God. I was this convinced that there was no God, and everything I heard up until that point was a fairy tale. And so I ran into a situation where I had done what I thought I was supposed to do. I got invited to two parties. One, my one roommate invited me to go back home to where he was in Peru, Indiana, in some big wooded party. Now, me being black, I had no business going to some wooded party way off in Peru, Indiana. But in my mind, that sounded like a good idea, but I needed to study. And so I said, no, I'm going to study. Then I got invited to a party on campus, and I turned that down too and decided I'm going to study. And I went to the lab and wrote a paper. I'm the type of person I don't write on paper first and then type it up. I look at the computer and type it. It flows better for me. So when I did that, I typed it. I hit save. I hit print. It would not print. I went over to the printer. It didn't print. I go back to hit print, and the paper was gone. The screen was black, computer black. Nothing was there. I was confused and frustrated, but I persevered, and I typed it all over again. This time, I'm not playing with the computer. I stuck the disk in there and hit save to the disk and then tried to print it out. The printer wouldn't work, but it's okay. I got the disk. I put the disk back in there. The paper was gone again. Screen black. I'm fuming mad. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning. I go back to my dorm room, and the door was locked. I was locked out of my dorm room. Now I'm ticked off. Now here's the thing, Brother Donald. I was walking away from God, but the first thing I said was, "God, you ain't fair to me." Now wait a second. I walked away from him, but now I'm mad at who I don't think is real. And then I went into, because where the dorm room was made, there was a space where we played cards. So I went there. I was thinking I'm just going to have to wait here till the morning until the RA wakes up so he can let me in my room, because they have the master key. I wasn't going to bang on their door at 3 o'clock in the morning and have him let me in. So I go in there to that room, and that room is a dark room. It's on the second floor. There's not a whole lot of light there. And then I said these words, "If you so real, God, you got to show me something." Now, I'm the one cutting up, and I think because I skipped two parties and did a paper, I think God's supposed to show something to me. But in my mind, in my pea brain mind, God ain't being good to me because I'm trying to be good and getting the wrong results. And then all of a sudden, I felt somebody walk in the room where I was sitting, and I turned around thinking, "Oh, I'm in luck. The RA's coming up the thing, or maybe some other person there." This was the weekend. A lot of times people went home it was a holiday weekend too, so a lot of people was gone. And so I wasn't expecting anybody to come, but when someone came, I was like, "That's cool." I looked over my shoulder and wasn't nobody there. But I knew somebody came in the room, and I'm like, maybe I'm just tripping. But I ain't smoked no dope and I ain't drank no wine. I'm sober. And then later on, about 2 minutes later, I feel somebody else come in the room. And I turned and looked over my shoulder the other way, and there was nobody there. And then it dawned on me what I said. I had just said, "God, if you so real, you got to show me something." Then I got scared. I got nervous. I, I got shook out of my being mad at who this God who may not be real. I got shook out of that, and I went all the way back to a young person reminded in Deliverance Temple when they was casting out demons and devils. I got scared because I realized what I said. But here's the whole point I'm making to you. What I felt next was the greatest love I've ever felt in my life. Here I am challenging God, telling him, I don't even think you're real. And if you're so real, you got to show me something. And he has a right to snatch the breath out of my body. But what I felt love fill the entire room. It feels like if you've ever been underwater and move your arms underwater, it felt so strong and so thick. Crocodile tears begin to jump out of my eye. I forgot everything I was mad about. I was like, God, I'm sorry, because I felt his love. Here's the thing I'm trying to point out to you. When God comes, he could come as a judge, but he often comes in his love. And even when he comes in his love, some people still say no. I'll go ahead and tell a little more of the story. So I sat down just crying my eyes. I don't know how long that part lasted. But I was crying, and then it all lifted, and it was back to normal. But I knew the presence of God had stepped in that space that I was in. But then all of a sudden, I seen a light come on the wall. What happened was I sat down in the seat that was there, where you play cards, the bench. I sat down on the far seat, and I looked at the wall. So there was an entrance door behind me and an entrance door in front of me, but I wasn't worried about anybody coming and see me. I just sat down wondering what has just happened to me, and I looked straight ahead on the white wall, and there was a light on the white wall. And then in my mind I'm thinking, the street light must really be shining, because how's it got from there to the second floor and hit the wall? But big dummy Andre, you've been in this room, it's been dark this whole time. So this ain't no street light. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at this light, and then the light begins to move. It moves from one place to the wall and moves to another place on the wall. And as I've described it before, when I think about it, the light looked like the flicker of a lighter. It was not a flame, but it was light. But as it began to take shape, it looks like the flame off of a lighter. And it moved all across the wall. And my eyes, you know, when you cry and your eyes are filled with tears, your eyes are blurry. I'm wiping my eyes. I'm like, what am I seeing? And I'm looking, wiping my eyes. And the drier my eyes are, the more I'm seeing what I'm seeing. And the light moved several places around this wall. And then all of a sudden, it disappeared, went away. And then an image appeared on the wall. And so it reminded me of when you were in school and you had to trace the dots. And as you trace the dots, something would appear. That's what it was. Everywhere the light went, it's like there was a tracing. And what I saw an image of a man from his neck. So basically his torso from his neck down to the waist. I didn't see a face. I didn't see legs. I just seen a torso, and I seen hands extended out. And I could see the cuff of a robe on the arm. And I heard God say, come home. Now here I am cutting up. And God is saying, here I am. Just come home. Yeah, you left me, but come home. Come back to me. Now, eventually, I actually came home and left school. But in that moment, I was saying, realizing God was saying, I could come back to my place in him. And I said, God, I'll serve you till the day I die. I stood up in that room, pointed to that wall, said, God, I'll serve you till the day I die. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what I had to get out of. I didn't know what I had to drop. All I knew is, God, you came to me and loved me when you should have punished me. So I said, God, I will serve you till the day I die. The whole scene shifted, and it was back to normal, and I walked back to my room. I forgot I was locked out. Forgot the door was locked. And I went to grab it, and I was like, oh, man, I forgot. I'm still locked out. God is good, but I'm still locked out. But something told me, turn the door anyway. I turned the door, and the door popped open. I walked in, and I went to bed. And from that day on, school wasn't the same for me. Life wasn't the same for me, because God had chased me down and walked me down. And all he did was show me his supernatural love and mercy and grace. And sometimes when I want to quit, I think about how God came and rescued me. I didn't get saved at an altar. I didn't get saved at a church service. I didn't get saved with a bishop and oil on my head. I got saved in a dusty dorm building where God rescued me. And I preached the way I preached because he came to me. Amen. So let's look at the next verse. Look at what he says. I spread out my hands just like I saw all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. The only reason why I'm showing up, because what they're doing is not good. It's not going to benefit them in the long run, but I'm not what the church said. I'm not throwing lightning bolts. I'm coming holding my arms out, because if you keep going down that path, it ain't good. But here I am. Here I am for my people. Let's look at this next verse. Psalms 27 and 8. And this is how we should respond, like David. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So when I finally realized, so basically what I did, I decided I prayed. And I ended up coming out of school. And the only thing God told me to do is go home and work with your father. I didn't know that meant anything to do with preaching, none of that. I was just going to come and work with my father. I was pushing the tape. I was controlling the mics. That's all I was going to do. But when God began to do stuff in me, I'd be in the shower and start preaching in the shower. Didn't know what was going on, saying scriptures. I didn't know I knew was inside of me. And I'm thinking, God, please don't do this to me. Please, I don't want to be a preacher. But you've loved me so much. Whatever you ask me for, I'll do. I didn't mean to go this, but let me tell you a little more of my testimony. I remember one time being in the old building at Deliverance Temple. And the power of God was getting on me strong. I could feel it. And I thought I was going to be slick, Sister Ruther. I grabbed a baby and put the baby in my arms. Like a two-year-old toddler, I believe it might have been my cousin Trey. And I'm going to hold him, because if I'm holding the baby, I know good and well God ain't going to make me shout or do nothing. But baby, I almost dropped the baby. And they had to get the baby out of my hands. And the next thing I know, I stepped out in the aisleway over there by where the wall was. And I just closed my eyes, and I was going to have my own little praise break with God. But back then, when God would get on me, I would be wild. I didn't have no cute praise. I had a wild praise. And so sometimes my friends would make fun of me, but my friends didn't know how God had rescued me. But what ended up happening was I danced all the way up to the front. And my dad was there. And I turned and I looked at him like, Daddy, get me out of this. And my father did this. He stuck the mic out to me. And I'm like, no. But I grabbed the mic and started preaching on the spot. Start talking about what I've been doing. Start talking about how I've been smoking dope in school and getting drunk. I didn't want to tell them church folk none of that stuff. But I realized at some point, God, you love me too much for me to do stuff my own way. So God, if you dare to love me, I dare to serve you. And guess what? Almost 27 years in November, it'll be 27 years of me preaching. Almost 27 years later, I'm still doing what God called me to do, because he loved the hell out of me. And I'm still here today. Done preached in Haiti. Done preached in South Africa. I was looking the other day. They're saying one of the longest flights from Atlanta, one of the longest international flights is from Atlanta to Joburg. And I'm thinking, I was on that flight. And I was on that flight not to sightsee. I was on that flight because somebody saw the anointing on my life and said, South Africa needs you. And I was able to stand and preach in South Africa because when God gets a hold of you, he can do anything. Little old Muncie, Indiana don't mean nothing. I can do whatever I need to do because God's hand is on my life. And it's the hand of his love. So here's takeaway D. Takeaway D is this. It's hard to make him known if he has to beg us to seek him. Put that takeaway up. It looks like they're lost in the back, having trouble. Well, there it is. It's hard to make him known. So guess what? Since God rescued me the way he rescued me, he don't have to beg me to seek him. I don't seek him to get a word to preach. I seek him to live, and then I preach what I live. And so I have read through the Bible almost 11 times now, and I'm still reading because I'm still seeking. There's some stuff I still don't know. I still got some hangups in my life. I still got some issues. But guess what? Like 50 said, get rich or die trying. I'm going to seek God or die trying. You're going to find out when they get done with my life, they're going to say, this was the man that sought the Lord. This was the man that believed what he preached. This is the man that loved the Lord because he loved me first. All right, so let's give us this here. Matthew 6:33. Here's a scripture that makes it real simple for us. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All right, let's go to a recap and bonus. Here's a recap. And here's the bonus. Let's recap them. A, B, C, and D, the four ways. Witness, acts, or actions, the yes, and then the seek. If you look at that, that actually spells the word ways. So I said there are four ways, but they're actually, as I went through them, I was spelling the word ways. Witness, action, yes, and seek. Let's put this up, and here's a bonus scripture. Exodus 33:13-14 says this. If it is true that you look favorable on me, this is Moses talking to God, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. This is what Moses said. I have your favor, God. But what I really want, I want to know your ways. If I'm ever going to really make him known, I got to know his ways. In other words, I don't just want, Brother Donald, I don't just want his blessing without knowing his ways. I don't just want his healing without knowing his ways. I don't just want a car and a house on the hill and a new spouse without knowing his ways. I don't just want the person I vote for to get in office without knowing his ways. So if I'm going to make him known, I got to know him. Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. Guess what? Every day since I said yes to him has not been easy. I've walked through some dark days and some dark seasons, but the reason why I'm still preaching, I found out his ways, and I found out in dark times he's still God. I found out in rough times he's still God. I found out in weak times he's still God. I found out in crying times he's still God. His ways are past finding out. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways, but I want to know his ways. And so since I want to know his ways, I can't wait till Sunday morning. Since I want to know his ways, I ain't got time to worry about Drake and Kendrick. I'm listening to CC Winans while y'all worrying about Drake and Kendrick, because even though the flow may be good, the flow may not get deliverance from me. So I want to know his ways on a Monday. I want to know his ways on a Tuesday. I want to know his ways on a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday. I'm a diehard Pacer fan, but even though the Pacers just blew two games, I ain't got time to be depressed because at the end of the day, the Pacers don't pay my bills. Tyrese Halliburton and LeBron James don't pay your bills. So stop worrying about the little stuff and learn his ways. Because if I get his ways, I can get the house. If I get his ways, I can get the marriage. If I get his ways, I can fix my depression. If I get his ways, I can overcome the situation. I can break the addiction. If I get his ways, show me your ways, God. Last and final verse. This is the beautiful response. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Now, here's the final words of this message. Everything will be fine for you. I know some of y'all struggling. I know some of y'all hurting. But because you're seeking his ways, God say, everything gonna be fine for you. The devil lying to you right now, but I'm here to let you know everything gonna be fine for you. Why? Because you're spending time with him. And he says this, I will personally go with you. I said those are the last words of the message. I guess a lie. Let me add this, and I promise I'm done. Let me add this. If perhaps you see me by myself, talking to myself, I'm not crazy because I got somebody who personally goes with me. I'm talking to someone because, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm not crazy, but I got an entourage. Every time I step out the house, I got a posse. I got a road dog. I got an Ace Boom Coon rolling with me, and I talk to him, and he talks to me. And guess what he's telling me? Everything will be fine for you. Come on, let's clap our hands and thank the Lord. All right, go ahead and put it up. We're going to move right into our child dedication. It's a beautiful thing to do. All right, let's go ahead and reveal the name of the sweetheart we are doing. And we're going to, they switch to the pink lights. So this is the baby blessing of Ajari Jade. And so the first thing I want to do is I want to have the parents come without the child. And they're going to come down front. And I always like to do it this way. Brother Donald, you can come and do the anointing for us. Anoint father and then mother. And we're going to pray. I'm going to point my hands and pray. And the reason why I do this is because no matter what happens in life, no matter what your relationship does, you will always be her parents. And so sometimes people put everything else in front of the child, but your focus is what's best for the child always. So I pray over this father and this mother. I thank you for their wisdom to dedicate their child to the Lord. Thank you that you brought life through them. But give them the wisdom to always put what is best for the child first, and you show them how to do it as they seek your ways according to raising children, because there is no manual for raising children, but you will show them your ways. And as you show them your ways, God, they will be great for this child. Bless father, bless mother, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name, amen. Now let's bring the baby. And you can hand her to either one. Scripture says children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a gift from the Lord. And so would you do me a favor and just turn and let everybody see the beautiful baby? Isn't she a beautiful baby? Yes. You guys stay facing that way, and we're going to put these scriptures on the screen. I'm going to read these scriptures. So go ahead and let's put the scriptures on the screen for me. Mark 10, it's 13 through 16 in the NIV. The first one says this: people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Here's the final verse. "And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them." Now, would you turn and face me? I'm going to do that. I'm going to take the baby if she would allow me. She usually comes to me. "Hey, sweetie, will you come? You want to come? Hey, sweetie, how are you? Let's get up here and let's look at the people together. Hey, you okay? All right, we're going to put our hands on her and we're going to bless her. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we anoint this child just like Jesus put his hands on, and he put his hands on specifically to bless. God, some people put hands on children to curse and to harm, but we put our hands here to bless. And God, I pray that your anointing, and right now, I curse every demonic plan planned against this child. I curse it from the root, but she's blessed from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. Every avenue of her life is blessed, God. Everything that she goes through is blessed. From this day forward, we pray, God, your blessing, your anointing, and angels will go with her and encamp around about her to keep her safe, protected, and blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, sweetheart. Amen. All right. You can go back. Now we're going to ask any family that want to come, that they would come. Not only do we bless from the leadership, but it takes a village to raise a child. So all our, just circle all around her on both sides. And what I'm going to ask you to do, if you can, to be touching each other, representing the fact that it takes the village. Yeah, I like this idea. Sister Kay, would you come on around and hold hands? How about what we're going to have you do? You guys stay in the middle and y'all circle around her. There we go. Yeah. And those in the back, just touch your hand on mother and father. And this is our symbolism of the family. It takes the family. But let me add this. This is something I probably don't need to say. Y'all are family. Y'all are aunties, cousins, grandmothers, but y'all not mom and daddy. So let mom and daddy do the raising. Y'all do the supporting. But it takes a village. So let's pray over this entire village. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, I pray that the same heart that mom and dad have for the child, that the village does, the family does, that they will always put the child first, that they will help rear the child when the child is under their care, under their protection, in their car. You bless the child just like you would bless them when they're in the mom and dad's car and in the mom and dad's house. God, you take care of everything. They came here to show their support, and in their support, they are saying they're there for this child specifically. And so, God, we anoint this entire village that all will be well, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let all the people say amen. 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 Would you guys just stay up here standing? Everyone, would we stand to our feet? And as a church, we are going to point to this circle. Now you guys turn and you face the congregation. So we say, y'all point right to this baby. And repeat after me. Father God, we as a church will pray for, protect, provide for this child with our love, with our concern, with our words, and with our help. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's put our hands together. You guys may be seated. Let's remain standing. We will do our final prayer. We thank God for this opportunity. Please, family, feel free to take pictures on the stage as well as out there as you leave. This is your day to celebrate this child. And I will add this as we're leaving. While Miss Ariel was pregnant, she would tune in online. So that baby been hearing me preach for a long time. And so I love her. So let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, thank you that we will know your ways. And God, we thank you for this wonderful child dedication. Thank you for this wonderful family, but also the family of Deliverance Temple. Help us to know your ways and follow your will and say yes to you. And God bless us as we celebrate on tomorrow. Keep us all safe and protected. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let everybody say amen. God bless you.